Imagine, if you will, that someone hands you a sheet of paper and a pen and says, "You only have a few minutes to live. Would you like to write something down to be left?" If that happened, what would you write? If you knew that you were about to say through that writing the last words that you would ever say, what would you say? The last thing that is said by someone is usually considered to be extremely important. Many times in life, I've had someone say to me, "I remember very well the last words that my dad spoke, or the last words that my mother said. I remember the last thing my husband told me, or my wife said to me just before she left this earth." And again, I think you would agree that we would consider that to be very important. The Bible records the last words of many different people. For example, Jacob used his last words to instruct his 12 sons of what he wanted them to do. Joseph used his last words to emphasize his faith in the promise that God had given, that the children of Israel would be carried to the promised land, back to their home in a sense, and he asked that his body, his bones, be taken with them. One of the thieves on the cross, and what he knew would be his last words, was very honest in placing his life before Jesus and asking for help. Stephen used his last words to ask for forgiveness for those that were killing him. Joshua used his last words to appeal to the people to make the right choices, choices that he knew they would face in the near future. And all of those are important, and from each of those we could bring a lesson tonight. But I won't ask you to think for just a moment, what were the last words of Christ? What was the last thing that we know that Christ said? If we believe, and I'm sure we do, that the last words of a mere man would be important, and especially if that man knew that these were going to be his last words, how much more important then should be the last words of our Savior? What were the last words of Christ? What did he emphasize, knowing that these would be his last words? Perhaps your mind goes to the cross, and you remember the 7 statements that Jesus made on the cross. And you would say the last thing that Jesus said was either, "It is finished," or, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." After each of those, one in Luke's account and one in John's account, it is said that Jesus gave up the spirit. In other words, he died. Many times you have heard sermons preached from these 7 sayings on the cross and how important these were. But folks, those were not the last words of Jesus. Because you see, unlike all these others that we have mentioned who recorded last words just before they died, Jesus came back from the dead. He was resurrected. And we have many words recorded from him in conversations with the apostles and with others during those days between his resurrection and his ascension. And we come down to the time of his ascension, the time that he literally left this earth. We listened, as Gary read a few minutes ago, from Acts' account of how he left in his last words the instruction to the apostles to go back to Jerusalem and wait there until they received the power that they needed to fulfill the promise that he had made and to carry out the purpose and the charges that he had given to them. In looking in the latter part of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, particularly in Luke, we see that a part of that was what we call the Great Commission, where in Luke he said, "Thus it is written, and thus it behooved the Christ to suffer and to rise again the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And after he had given those instructions, Luke, who also we think wrote Acts, closed his account of the gospel by saying that Jesus took them out and he left them and ascended. Acts 1 goes back and picks up there and talks about his ascension. And so the last word spoken by our Lord just before he ascended, the last time that he was on this earth, and we think the last time he will ever be on this earth, because when he returns, the earth shall melt with fervent heat. Those last words emphasize the importance of the gospel and taking that gospel to all creatures. What an important message he left. But folks, those were not the last words that we received from Jesus. Because you see, the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he sent and signified through his servant John. And although you will not see in the book of Revelation the words of Christ in red as you do in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, in reality, what is written in the book of Revelation gives us the last words of our Savior. No doubt Jesus knew this would be the last thing that he would ever say. This would be the last writing that would ever be recorded for mankind. He knew this would be the last that he would give. What did he consider important in the last words, really the last words that he left for us? Begin with me on what is probably the last page in your Bible, the last chapter at least, in verse 12. You'll notice at the end of verse 21, his last word is amen. A word that in a sense means let it be, or so let it be, or let it be, Lord. Beginning at verse 12, the last words of our Savior. And behold, I come quickly. And I begin at that verse especially because of the word behold. After he said all of these other things, even in the last chapter, it just seems that he makes a little break right here. And he says what may be the same idea that the wise men said in Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. He says, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things to the churches, or in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And it may be that in a sense John added those last two or three sentences to emphasize the power of what Jesus has just said. Those, folks, are the last words of our Savior. What did he think was really important when he knew he was speaking his last to the seven churches of Asia Minor and would become a part of the canonized Bible that we have today and would be the last things that he said to us? Four things, mainly. First, he emphasized his divinity. Notice verse 13. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Verse 16. I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. That's different ways of Jesus saying, I am the Son of God. He thought it was important to emphasize that in his last words. He had thought it important to emphasize this before. In John 5, he gives five witnesses that he's the Son of God: himself, John, his works, the Father, and the Old Testament scriptures. And in John 15, in the last two verses, he gives two more witnesses: the Spirit, the Comforter, shall testify of me. And he said, you as apostles will testify of me. He said, here are seven proofs in those two chapters that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Why is that so important? Because other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:11. Because it was that very fact of his divinity that Peter had just confessed when Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. You remove the divinity of Jesus Christ and you have knocked the foundation out from under Christianity. You keep the divinity of Jesus Christ and sustain it, and you have got a foundation that cannot be shaken by the rains or the winds or the floods or the storm of life. The very central figure from Genesis to Revelation is the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And when we sing, "Tell Me the Story of Jesus," we're singing about a story that from beginning to end is based upon that fact. You take that fact out of the gospel, it is meaningless. You take that fact out of the Bible, and it is spineless. So it's no wonder that Jesus emphasized his divinity in the last things that he would say. But notice also here in this passage, in the last words, that he emphasized his authority. Verses 18 and 19, summing it, do not add to, do not take away. Some, in trying to weaken that, would say, well, he's just talking about the book of Revelation. If he were, that would say a lot. But don't ever forget, when you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 2 in the first of the Bible, and Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6 in the middle of the Bible, you have the same thing being said, and there are even other times that he says, don't add to, don't take away. He said you need to recognize the authority of Jesus Christ and the authority of God and the authority of his word. He said in the Great Commission of Matthew 28, all power hath been given unto me both in heaven and earth. Paul says of him in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, he's put all things under his feet, given him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. In that step-by-step in 1 Corinthians 11:3, man is the head of the woman, Christ is the head of man, God is the head of Christ. Christ has the authority over us. And understanding that authority and that standard that is involved is paramount to Christianity being what it ought to be. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away, Matthew 24:35. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, The same shall judge him in the last day, John 12, verse 48. Jesus emphasized his authority and emphasized that there is one standard, and that's God's word. And how that's the only way we can come to agreement and stand together, to stand together on God's word. He emphasized his authority. And then, right in these last words, he emphasized his return, his second coming. Something that would give his followers hope that not all was lost, even when he left. Notice verse 12. I come quickly. My reward is with me. And then notice what is said about this in verse 20. He which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly. And then John says, even so come, Lord Jesus. The second coming of Jesus Christ is so important to us. If we had to go to the graveside with the bodies of our loved ones and believe that that was the end of it, what a difference it would be. And yet we have the promise of Jesus in beloved passages like John 14, let not your heart be troubled, ye believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house are many mansions, I go to prepare for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Is there anything that can be said in the last words of anybody that would be more important than emphasizing that there will be another reunion, there will be another getting together? Sometimes when a family member passes on at the time of death, maybe just before that, if that person is able to speak and know what is being said, may say something along the line, there will be another time when we will meet. Or those standing by may say something to that effect, even after death has taken its toll, this is not the last of it. There is something else to come. No wonder Jesus emphasized this in his last words. And no wonder he says in so many other places that this gives us a reason to work. 1 Corinthians 15:58. A way that we can comfort one another with these words. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And gives us peace of mind in the heart that he is coming to give us that reward. John 14, verse 27. His divinity, his authority, and his second coming. That's what Jesus thought was important to put on the last page of what he would leave for you and me to read. But you know, I am so thankful that there is another idea in those verses. And I refer to verse 17. Right in the middle of emphasizing his divinity and his authority and his return, he extended his invitation and made all of this personal to each one of us. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will. Whosoever will. That's you. That's me. That's anybody. Whosoever will. Why do you think Jesus thought it important to throw that in right here in these last words? What else can give us a greater opportunity? What else can give us the comfort that we need than to know that this one who is the Son of God, who has all authority and who is coming back, gives a personal invitation to you and to me and to everybody. The same one who's recorded in Matthew 11 is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come unto me, he said. And he is persistent in that, also indicated earlier in the book of Revelation at chapter 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. Isn't it interesting that right in the middle of all those great points that we might tend to talk about as doctrinal points, Jesus throws out that invitation in a very personal way and says, anybody who wants to can come. The last words of Jesus left for us are on the last page of the Bible. He said, I'm the Son of God. He said, remember the authority of God's word. And tonight, those who have not become Christians need to remember that authority and the need to be baptized as penitent believers. Those who are wayward children need to remember that authority, the need to repent, confess, and pray to God for forgiveness. And he said, I promise you, I'm coming back. And I want you to come to me so that you will be ready when I come back. Divinity, authority, his return, and his personal invitation, even for you to come. And that applies tonight. While together we stand and sing. On the point that he wanted what he wanted, he had the attitude of selfishness. When did that sin exist? I suggest to you that you can go back to the very time that he requested it. The attitude that he had when he went to his father was a problem even at that time, and from then on it's just a progression of one thing into another. Folks, we've got to get back and realize when sin is sin. And it's not down yonder at the far end when we get into the worst mire that one can get. Many times it's back here at the beginning. When we have the wrong attitude, we have unlawful desires. And especially when we fulfill those desires, even in the shades of night and the darkness of having it hidden, it is still sin. There is the good news that there can be forgiveness. Especially in the case of David, I think some of the greatest comfort that we find is being able to go back and see how serious the sins of David were and then see that God called him a man after his own heart. God forgave him. To read something like the 51st Psalm, where you can just almost see the tears on the page as you read it with the attitude of David as he changed, it took a lot to get him to see that he was the man. He had to be told, you're the one I'm talking about. And sometimes today it seems like it's going to take that with some of us to God simply look at us and say, you're the one I'm talking about. But at least he repented and he received forgiveness. And the prodigal son, who seemingly went about as far away from home as you can go, repented. And he went back home and he said of sin, and he received forgiveness. That's the good news. How great that good news is. And when each of us looks in his life today, we'll see some sin. We may not see the same sin that Achan committed, or the same one that David committed, or the same one the prodigal son committed. But we'll see sin. And we need to be able to look into our lives and see when that sin begins, and see what sin is, and see when sin is sin. Because it's possible and highly probable. Some of us are going to face God at the day of judgment and lose our souls because we didn't realize when sin is sin. Look at your life this morning. I emphasize again the good news of the blessings that are in the blood of Christ for forgiveness. But folks, we just have to emphasize the bad news that is with sin. It can kill us. It can condemn us. It can send us to destruction for an eternity if we don't turn to the good news of the gospel and take care of it in the blood of Jesus Christ. And perhaps the biggest thing that all of us need to do is what is said about the prodigal son. He came to himself. And he said, I've sinned. Folks, let's not wait till the judgment to come to ourselves. Let's not wait until it is too late to come to ourselves and to realize when sin is sin and deal with it with the blood of Jesus Christ. Some need to be baptized today for the remission of all past sins and be added to the Lord's church. Some may need to ask for forgiveness for sins committed as a Christian. If either is your need, realize when sin is sin and turn to the good news of the blood of Christ to take care of it while together we stand in sin.
Sinners Jesus will receive, sound this word of grace to all who the heavenly pathway lead.